Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. We're again in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 14. I'm going to review really quickly after we pray, and then we'll jump right into this. Amen. Let's pray. Father Yahweh, we glorify you as always, and we just praise you for indeed you are the one and true and the most high God. You are Yah Almighty. And we bless you for that. And we just thank you for your Son. He is the one and true Son that has been called forth to redeem man back to you. And we praise you for that, Yah. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. All right, we're in Genesis. Yeah, you'll have to go way over there this time since you got a broken, since you got a flat tire. Whatever person has a broken foot or something, I call it a flat tire. So, all righty. In Genesis chapter 1, we just review really quickly here. Genesis 1, it points out that Yah is the creator of heaven and earth, of the heaven and the earth. It points out in verse 2 that the earth was without form and void. There was nothing there. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. We discussed that that Yah created darkness. I believe it's based upon Isaiah 65 and 7, I believe. Take a quick review there just to make sure. I don't want to quote the wrong scripture. I believe it is Isaiah 65 and 7, though. Nope. I tell you what, let's just be lazy. I know it's one of them sevens. I just don't know which Isaiah chapter. 45 and 7. What did I say?
I'm 65.
Oh, I sure did. Okay, we know it's so fine. So Isaiah 45 and 7 points that out as we see it here. He formed the light. He creates darkness. He makes peace and creates evil. Yah is the source of all things. Yah do all these things. Okay? And so we understand now that he created the darkness. He created water. The deep is called water. And we look in verse 2. As he moved up on the face of the waters, the face and deep, one and the same. There is an abyss. And we'll discuss some things from that just briefly. Mama Coach had mentioned, she had asked in reference to the seas and the abyss. All signs point to that the deep indeed is underneath, or the depth of the deep is underneath the seas, and so that's why they really never found the bottom of the ocean, because it leads into the deep. They found certain pockets of the ground level in the ocean, but they never found the bottom of the ocean, because according to the scripture, it is classified as the deep. And when you look at the word deep, it means abyss. It is endless. No one has found the depth of it. Only Yah knows that, okay? And so deep, again, is water. Then we have light. We discussed that light is indeed its own separate illuminousness. It is separate from the sun, because the light is created before the sun is created. He called the light day. He called the darkness night, verse 5. Then he creates the firmament in the midst of the waters. Mist meaning it's in the middle of the waters. And so we have water above the heavens, firmament in heaven, water above the heavens, and water beneath the heavens. And he said in verse 9 that that his method for gathering this water together underneath the heaven was when land was created in verse 9. So land was created in verse 9, or the scripture calls it the dry. Land is italicized, which lets us know that Yah, when you call it according to the way Yah named it, he called it the dry. And so as you see in verse 10, it says dry land. Land, again, is italicized, so it should not be there. So it says, and Yah called the dry earth. So, you know, we call it land, we classify it as land, but Yah called it dry, and he called it earth. So it is earth, as Elder pointed out last week, it is not a planet, it is the dry, okay? It is earth. It's not a planet. Yah calls it earth, okay? When you look at the Hebrew meaning of the word earth, verse 11, earth. When you look at the word earth, it does mean land, but I'm just telling you it could be wilderness, so there are variations of it, but Yah called it earth. So the land itself is called earth. It's okay to call it land, but it is earth, okay? Then earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind. Now, we're going to move into verse 14 because we're really going to get into talking about the sun and things like this, but I really want to spend some time with verse 12 because Yah was dealing with me after we looked at verse 12 and we discussed the seed and things like that. Elder, I found something that was along the lines of what I was talking about when I was saying about the thing, but they didn't show it in detail, and they were those strings that you were talking about. And so I had said in the, I believe in last week's lesson, that they had found another ocean, but there were rivers and streams. But they had waves in them. And so you can go into the bottom of certain portions of the ocean. You can see actual streams and rivers in the ocean itself. And they were explaining it, saying that, you know, they were giving their explanation, but that's according to human knowledge. You know, so there were things that they didn't show in detail, whereas the video that I had seen looked like it was the same video, but they showed it. They didn't show them going off in it, like the one that I saw, but they kind of looked like they skipped that part and was communicating, saying something from a perspective of that they went in it, but they don't actually show you doing it. So there are videos that have streams that show that oceans itself have rivers and streams that have its own separate ways with those rivers and streams in the bottom of the ocean in certain areas and stuff. So again, that points out the deep. But what I wanted to point out to you in verse 11 and 12 was talking about bringing forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Elder made a statement after the training school service last week, and he said, well, do you remember what you said in detail? Because if you don't, you know, in reference to when you were talking about how grass grow and then it sprout out the seed, because we started talking about things planted and stuff like that. And you made a statement in reference to certain grass grows, and when it gets to a certain height, then the seed is at the top, and we were talking about how the seed sprout out, and then you can get more grass or whatever, you know. And so you can see that with a lot of types of grass. And so Yah started dealing with me about the seed because I was, you know, after that conversation, he just started dealing with me about the seed after his kind, based upon what I had made the statement in reference to, that what Yah created have seed after his kind. And so I started, Yah led me to start to do some research, and what I realized is that there are other types of seed that man has something to do with that can grow. You can plant it in the ground and it can grow. GMOs, genetically modified plants, can grow when you plant it in the ground. But when you do GMOs, GMOs are made in the lab. So you have corn and different things like that they're feeding us now that's actually made in a lab, and you can plant it. It will yield corn. It will also give the impression of seed. The only thing is it just doesn't produce because it's genetically modified. Then we have another category of plant, and it reminded me of that earlier when we talked about the carrots, how your original carrot were purple, I believe, and And so explain that again, and then we'll discuss that even more in detail.
So, watched some documentary one time and said that originally carrots were not orange, that the Dutch bred carrots to make them orange because their colors were orange and white or whatever. So they bred, I think they were originally purple or whatever color, and they bred them to be orange.
Now, notice the word the elder said. He said they bred them to be orange. So, remember, I just talked about GMOs, genetically modified plants that you can plant. They will produce what look like corn. Matter of fact, you see it in the stores now. When you go get that corn that's in that bad boy yellow is a Crayola itself. But the corn I grew up on, it wasn't yellow like that. It was more lighter in color, and the texture was a whole lot different. And these GMOs, they are made with pesticides. And the reason why they make these plants with pesticides that people eat. They make it with pesticides because they don't want the insect that normally would eat the regular corn to eat that genetically modified corn, so they put pesticide in the ingredient. And when they make the corn, and the insect that normally eat that corn die from it because he's eating the pesticide, but then they feed it to us. So guess what's happening to us? If y'all created, or since y'all created the insect that normally eats that stuff, and the insect that y'all created dies from eating it, then because we're connected to y'all and created from the same living source, y'all, then it kills us too. Okay? And so your GMOs are made with pesticides, but then at the same time, these different companies like Monsanto and things like that, they have it to where you can't run tests on these things because they patent the GMOs. And so since it's patented, they can't release the ingredients in it because, you know, once you do a patent, you know, you get the high ingredients. And so nobody can run tests on it to see if it's really harming anybody because they don't know the ingredients that's in it. Think on that. This is the system that we live in. So these are GMOs, and this is what they are. When you plant a GMO, all it can do is grow and give you that food, but you cannot take the seed from it and plant it from that plant that has grown, and it will grow up to another seed because it's GMO. It's genetically modified, so it doesn't create a seed after its time. Now, the next one, what elder meant, what was the word that you used? You said they bred. They bred. So the word bred, that's code word, technically, for letting us know that it's a hybrid. So what man has done, man has taken something that God created. He takes two plants that God created, and he says, man takes those two plants, bring them together, you know, what, an orange and a nectarine to make a tangerine. I can't remember which one. All right, go. But something is made from something to make that something. And so they'll take two plants that y'all created and breed them to produce another kind of plant that has the same strength, that has the best things of both plants. But the problem with that is when you take that plant and you put it in the ground, it grows bigger. Now that tells you why all this stuff is so big now. You know, watermelon look like a tire on a car now. You know, it just gives you different ideas because they're cross-breeding this stuff, and they're breeding it to where the seeds are gone. So that watermelon does come from a watermelon, but it's connected to something else that caused it to bear a watermelon without a seed. And so it has qualities to it. It has health benefits to it because it comes from the original. But at the same time, because it has been taken from the original and planted, when it grows up, it looks more prettier. It looks more bigger. I'll give you an example. You know, have you ever seen them take a tiger and a lion and bring it together? And you get a liger. You never seen a liger before? I'm going to show you a liger.
What, an albino?
A liger. I'm going to show it to you. I hope everyone is connected via the internet and they'll be able to see this too. So I'm going to show you a liger. I might not spell it correctly. L-I-G-E-R? Okay.
Okay, liger.
A liger is a crossbreed between, it is a crossbreed between a lion and a tiger. And they are bigger than both. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the best one to pick out. I don't think that's the real one, man. Right here? Where? Which one? Okay. They're huge.
Wow.
I think that may be a little too huge. Okay, here's a perfect example. I'll use this one. Here is a liger. They are huge, though. You may be correct. And so, I'm going to just take this one because it's sitting beside this woman. It looks more natural. Come on and show it.
So which one I'm give birth to it?
Okay. Whichever one is a female.
Either way.
So I'm gonna just show up because I for some reason not quick where so you know I am. Yeah, you have to help me out because for some reason, it's not pulling the image up. Okay, there we go. Okay, so everyone is watching this via media in one form or another. This is a liger. This is a crossbreed between a lion and a tiger. Okay? So when they crossbreed it, it's bigger than a lion and a tiger. They're huge. And the photo of the other was talking about, it's pretty much about the size. They are huge. They're huge. And so they're bigger than a lion. Now, tigers are huge. This thing is bigger than, way bigger than a tiger. So I'm going to go back to that photo that Hillary was talking about because it's probably legitimate. Okay. This thing probably is that big. They get huge. And so when you show her, and she probably little on something too, so. And then when you crossbreed it, you get that. Now you take that mindset and man crossbreed what y'all made. Y'all made a tiger. Y'all made a lion. Man said, let's crossbreed them. Let's get a hybrid from them. So anytime there's a hybrid, there's always the best of both worlds, but it takes away from something that y'all put in. Okay? So when you keep that in mind and you start to look at your fruit and vegetables now, they take what God created that has the seed, crossbreed it, okay, make it a hybrid, so all your stuff is there. You know them great big old plums that look like apples? We never seen those when I was growing up as a kid. A plum was a little bitty thing, one a whole lot bigger than, you know, a silver dollar. It was a little bigger, you know. But these things where you can grab and they look like an apple, no, that's just crossbreeding stuff, whereby you get something that tastes, it's good, a bomb is sweet, but then they crossbreed it, and you get that sweetness, and you get that size of something else, and people are like, wow, look at the size of those plums. Look at the size of those peaches. Look at the size of those grapes and all these different things. Look at how awesome they are and how sweet they taste without the seed. But it's a hybrid. And so it has some benefits from it, but when you put it in the ground, that's how you tell when God made it. When you put it in the ground, Your hybrid can produce again. But the only difference is you run the risk of it not producing, or when it does, it is less than what was planted. So each time you plant it, it gets weaker and weaker to the point to where...
Generation.
It gets weaker and weaker.
First generation, you know, somewhat weaker. If you take the seed from that generation and plant it again, it's weaker again than even that generation.
So the first hybrid that's taken oh, it's really the best of both worlds. But then you take the seed from that and you plant it. It becomes less of those best of both worlds, and it keeps getting lesser and lesser. After generation and generation, you got a bunch of crap that's coming up out of the ground that we thinking is healthy, and it's not. And here's the amazing part. You know when you go to the store and you buy all those vegetable plants and different type of things that you can buy and plant it for your garden year by year, those are hybrids. Because what they tell you is this. They say you can save a hybrid seed. They say, but it's not worth it. Listen, you might as well just go to the store and buy some more hybrid seed and plant those instead of trying to save the hybrid that comes out of it, out of the plant that you just grew. You can save it and plant it, but you're taking a shot in the dark that it's going to actually grow. And if it does grow, it's not going to be very nutritional, so it is best to go get the little bags that they sell in all the stores, all as hybrid. Because remember the rule. Yah says, whatever I create it after its time, you don't even have to touch it. It will, just like the grass in your yard, it will sprout up and grow seeds at the top and throw them out. And you can have a bare yard if they keep throwing them seeds. You know, my yard got kind of crappy a while back, and it kept, the weeds kept growing and throwing weeds. Now I got some nice weed grass now. You know, it's weed, but it's grass now. Because it kept throwing it, and it kept filling it up, and I knew that was natural. Anything that God created, it produces the same strength of what he created. Why you think dandelions get all in your yard? Because y'all created them. And when they throw the seed, dandelions pop up and look just like the other dandelions. Because y'all created it to produce after its time. So all the plant stuff that you can get pretty much in these stores are nothing but hybrids. Yah is not the author of those things. What y'all created man to do was sin. You look at it in the scriptures, Genesis chapter 2, says this concerning man. Genesis 2 verse 5 said, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for Yah had not called it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. When you look at the word till the ground, this was our responsibility. No man to work the ground. There was no man to work it. Somebody said, how would he work it? Let me see. Where is it where he says to dress it and to keep it? I'm just kind of scanning. Huh? Put the man in the garden which you formed. It may be in chapter 3. Yeah, here it is, verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 15 said, and Yah took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. See, I understand that from this perspective because I'm old country boy. And I knew that if you had a tree that grew naturally, trees, pomegranate trees, peach trees, you know, plum trees, all that grew naturally when I was a kid. Nobody planted that stuff. But what we had to do, especially because we had two big berries, blueberry trees, blackberry trees, and red and blackberry trees. And what you had to do was dress it and keep it. You didn't have to do nothing but dress it and keep it. Because if you didn't, it was so much fruit that it would be all over the ground. You walk through it and your feet, you know, so we were barefooted all the time. Your feet be purple all the time because you're walking through the yard. You stepping in all those blackberries. You're stepping in them because they're constantly falling off the trees. Dress it and keep it. We didn't have to go plant them for the tree to grow berries every year. All we had to do was dress it and keep it. Okay, it's too many limbs. Cut some on the back. Dress it and keep it. Okay, we can't eat all of these. There's so many on the tree and they're hitting the ground, so we got to pick some of them up. Eat as much as we can. Pass out as much as we can to the neighborhood. And what we can't pass out, let the birds eat. Let the animals eat. It's just so much going on that you know, it's just so much out there. We had to dress it and keep it. We had to take care of the ground. We didn't have to go and dig the ground up, put another one in there, and cover it up so they can grow up again. That's hybrid stuff. That's GMO stuff. Because everything that y'all created, he said, it grows on its own. I got a fig tree in my backyard. It grows on its own. All I have to do is prune it back because my daughter is all on the driveway. I just prune it back, and it grow fig, throw them all over the yard. I have to pick them up, dress it, and keep it. Don't have to do nothing but dress it and keep it, and keep it pruned. Why? Because Yah created it, and it produces out this kind. Anything that doesn't do that is genetically modified or it's a hybrid. Okay? And hybrids are, hybrids has certain nutrition, but when it really comes down to it, in the long run, It's not good for us. Because as the elder pointed out, each time that seed is produced, it is weaker and weaker and weaker. And over generations and generations, all we got are nice, big, pretty plants in the yard that we eat that has very little nutrition in it in comparison to the original thing. Okay, so I wanted to point it out before we got to verse 14 now, okay? Now, we'll skip to verse 14 and we'll start dealing with this light to show indeed that the light is separate from the day and to explain what they are. Verse 14 said, Yah said, let there be light. The word light, plural. We're going to see what these lights are. Let there be light. The word light is luminousness. Let there be light in the heaven, in the firmament, in the sky of heaven, to divide the day from the night. So what's the purpose of these lights? To divide the day. What does the word divide mean? To separate. Okay, to divide. Bagal. To divide. To separate. You see the word there again. To separate. To distinguish. So when they tell you that these lights are for something else, you have to go back to what y'all said. So what we're about to read or what is described in these lights, we know that these lights are for a specific purpose. And anything else that they tell us, they lying. Period. Because Yah is the source in Genesis 1, verse 1. And what he said he did it and how he said he did it is the way we got to go with it. Why? Because none of us was there. Remember the nut with the PhD, the EBD, and all them G's behind his name that tell you that the earth is 1 million years old, and he can tell you that because he's digging the ground, and one layer is blue, and the other layer is pink. I'm making fun of him. One layer is blue, the other layer is pink, and so because this is blue, and this is pink, they got to be 1,000 years apart. That kind of stuff is what they're coming up with to describe this stuff. So I just say, you wasn't there. So I have to believe the one who was there. Okay, now, in describing these lights here, and Elder, you know, help me when you see things, because sometimes you can see some stuff I'm not seeing. Verse 15 said, and let them be for light in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. Now, question. What are these lights, what are the purpose of these lights? Come on, speak. You know, I like to speak. Y'all be just as loud as me because the other people saying, I can't hear nothing. I mean, what? Signs and season, but before we get there, Elder, let's deal. Oh, you already. Oh, I skipped it. Okay. Now, verse 14 is the Yah said, let there be light in the heaven to divide the day from the night. I skipped down. That's why I didn't see it. So you're correct. But signs, what are signs? Let's deal with it. What are signs? Okay, Yah said, let there be light in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. So that's the purpose, to divide the day from the night, to separate it, for signs. Signs are signals, omens. So miracles. So when these lights turn into an eclipse, that is not the moon. That is the sun giving you a miracle. Eclipse is a miracle. That's not the moon covering the sun. That is a miracle. It's just that that nut that got that PhD want to tell you that that's the moon covering the sun. By the way, you never see it coming dark. The sun is covering it because they're trying to hide y'all and the fact that you're seeing a miracle. That when that sun turns black, that is a sign. It's a miracle. Y'all saying, I'm the one on the throne, and I'm the one created it that way, and watch my hand at work speak of my glory. So eclipses are signs. Blood moons are signs. That's nothing coming. Nothing. That's just y'all say, I'm gonna turn it black today to show y'all that I'm the source. And so they tell us, and let's tell them nuts, that's the moon covering the sun. And you know how Elder pointed out how the moon should be when it covers the sun, or when the sun covers the moon. They got it going one direction when it should be the other direction. Okay? So he says the signs, so that's miracles. So your eclipses are miracles from Yah. Your red moons are miracles from Yah. Okay? Then it says there's a season. When you look at the word seasons, it means fixed time or season. it means appointed time, due season. Okay, so we can look at the sun. Explain what you mentioned while you said when the sun moves in a certain direction to let us know the times of the day.
So I think seasons step further than that, right? So where the sun is in the sky,
it's
kind of like, well, so what you're talking about is days, but
right.
even the path that it takes across the sky was seasons, right? Because at different times of the year, it's not quite the same path.
Right. And so as you see these things, it is pointed out, so you're looking at seasons here. First it was signs, miracles, then you have seasons, which are fixed time or season, you know, like what Elvin mentioned, during the winter time, the sun comes up in a different direction in front of my house than it does in the summertime. In the summertime, it comes like right up over my neighbor's house, but in the wintertime, it's like more to the right of my house. So that's what he means by season. The sun is letting you know it's cold. I'm over here. It's hot. I'm coming up right in your face. Coming right through your bay window, preacher. Okay? And so when you look at seasons, it's talking about that. For days, that's in reference to what I was mentioning, where you can look, as the other pointed out, you can look in the morning, the sun is in front of my house. Well, come 12 noon, it's right up over the house. Let us know that time is moving. We wouldn't know what time it was if it was just sun was just out going through space. It's just the moon and the earth is just following it in this circle and it's spinning, chasing the sun. We never know what time it was. Sun constantly running away from us. But it moves in a circle of motion, not in a spirit circle, but a flat round circle, like your clock. Lay a clock down. Your old clock, lay it down. It lets you know what the earth is really like. When you see the hour hand and the minute hand, it's letting you know the sun and the moon, how it rotates. But a clock, put it there to give you things. You get a compass. A compass is the same way it's flat, and it moves because they know the earth is the same way. Okay? So you look at days, then you look at years. When you look at years, it points out whole age. Okay? Years, you know? I'm 54 years old, getting ready to be 55 in 2 months. So you can take it, and I can go back and look at those years and know that that's my whole age, or the whole age of mankind. Okay. Now, as we move through verse 15, it says, and let them be, This is where I wanted to be now. And let them be, and let them be for light in the firmament of heaven to give light upon what? Upon what?
Earth.
The earth. So, what we're getting ready to identify, we've been talking about it quite a bit, but I'm just playing with you by saying what we're getting ready to identify. Let's just jump out there. So the scripture says that the sun and the moon and the stars are specifically for giving light upon the earth. That's their purpose. Now, we got to think about this now. What's above the heavens? What's above the firmament?
Water.
Water. So since water is above the heavens, and the sun, we can see, it has to be under the heavens. The moon has to be under the heavens. Because if it was above the heavens, or space, as they say, it couldn't light the earth because it'd be water in between. Y'all hear this? It would be impossible for this sun, I don't want to say impossible, it would be very difficult for this sun and moon to light up the earth if there's water in between the heaven that you look up. That's why it's so blue up there. It's water there. You get up in an airplane, it's the same blue down in the ocean because it's blue water you're looking at. It's just that most people don't know that it's blue ocean they're looking at above their head. Same blue. Get in a plane, you see the same blue. Look up, same blue as looking down. Because there's water up there and water down there. So you have now the sun and the moon and the stars are specifically created for seasons and signs and days and years and also to give light up on the earth. That is its purpose. So 15, and let them be for light in the firmament of heaven. Where are they? In the firmament. So they can't be above the firmament. They can't be above the heaven if the scripture says they are in the heaven, because then remember the heaven is inside what? And the sun is in that firmament. The moon is in that firmament. The stars are in that firmament to give light up on the dry land. See how when we allow y'all to teach us, how we realize we just been foolish all this time for trusting man to teach us instead of trusting Yah to reveal to us the truth. And Yah just did everything in his time. Verse 15 again, and let them be for light in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And Yah made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. What is that, y'all? That's the sun. The lesser light to rule the night. That is the moon. And he made stars also. So are stars planets? No, stars are stars. They're luminous. They're not planets. Why? Because they're inside the dome. We live in a dome that's covered with water, and you have the sun that's underneath it, and you have the stars that's underneath it, and you have the moon that's underneath it. That's why the sun doesn't look very big, because it isn't. What do you think when the sun is shining, you only see the luminousness in certain areas? Why the sun only shining on those houses and not shining on everything in the evening? That's not as big as what they say. It's not the billions of years out there in space. That sun is under that dome, and it's small, just like it's looking. That's why when it's only shining in some of my neighborhood. It ain't shining in all the houses on this side of the street. It's just shining on those houses across the street. But if it was way up there, why is it not shining on the whole earth? It's bigger. As they say. So since it's bigger, then why can it not light? If it's bigger and the earth is chasing it, then why does it always light up the whole earth? I know he said because it's round. But if it's round, then the folks at the bottom are drowning because they're deep underneath it. Elder, you pointed out something. I'm going to make you tell it again. And I know you're saying, Pastor, I don't remember what I said. I'm going to help you. Read this here, and then you explain it, what you mean. I don't want to. Matthew 24, verse 30. Explain to everyone what we understand that to mean. Matthew 24, verse 30. You see what I'm going on?
Oh,
which I leave you see, so I just messing with you, making work for it.
Yeah, so I like to quote this scripture in explaining things and understanding why the earth is not round, because if it were, it would make this scripture be a lie. Because the reality is, so I'll just read the scripture. Verse 30 says, and then shall the sign of the Son of Man, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And
in
then,
heaven, hold up, heaven, firmament. Okay, go ahead.
And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven with power and great glory, right? So the reality is, it's saying all the tribes of the earth go mourn. But the reality is, that if the earth were round and he came, and as it said, he appeared in the heavens, everybody couldn't see him. Here's the reality. So because if he appeared on this side, all the people on the other side couldn't see him. But because it's flat, when he appeared, everybody gonna be able to see him.
Now, when you look at verse 29 in the same chapter, Matthew 24, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, miracle. And the moon shall not give her light, miracle. And the stars shall fall from heaven. Because there's nothing but light, luminousness. The scripture points out that the stars are going to fall like figs falling from a tree. Because the stage is being set up for verse 30. What does the scripture say? And he shall appear in the brightness of his coming. When Christ comes, it is going to light up the whole, his glory is going to manifest in the earth. And that's why Yah is setting up the stage for his son to come. So he said, I want complete darkness to get all attention from all these tribes of the earth, all mankind. It's going to be completely dark on planet earth, and then my boy will pop the clock. The brightness of his coming. You want
to
jump in?
And also, just to confirm that as well, Isaiah 34.
Isaiah, let me pull it up where everyone else can see it. Isaiah 34, okay.
Verse.
Verse 1, because verse 4 is where you want to be, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just read verse 1.
It says, come near ye nations to hear, and hearken ye people, and let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all the things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord, of Yah, is upon all nations, and his fury upon all of their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of the carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And the host of heaven shall be dissolved. So the host of heaven is stars, sun, moon. The host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall roll together as a scroll, right? So when it comes, even that, right, if it were round, it could roll up like a scroll.
I'm going to show you what a scroll looks like. Let's get rid of the lighter. Okay. This is what the scripture says. The heavens are going to roll like the firmament. Going to roll like a scroll. Just a scroll. Okay, we'll just take this one here because we know that's flat. Now, go ahead and read that scripture again. Verse 4.
And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall roll together as a scroll.
As a scroll. Roll together. So the heaven itself is spread out on a flat plane, or earth as a flat dry that comes up out of the firmament. And he said, and the scripture says it's going to roll up like a scroll. Okay? Go ahead, Elvis.
So, and all the, what is that?
And all
that host shall fall down as the leaf falls off the vine. So it's like what you were saying, when the stars come down, just like,
and it falls from like a fig tree.
Right.
Okay? And so when you look at the scriptures pointing out that because it's dealing with this end time prophecy of Matthew 24, Isaiah talks about it, Revelation points it out. It points out that this battle that's going to take place, you really saw Armageddon. When this takes place before the return of Christ, that's why verse 29 says, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers, same thing, he said, oh, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Christ comes. When all that happens, can you imagine the day when the sun doesn't shine, the moon doesn't shine, and all the stars fall from heaven? And mankind, looking at this. And then after that, Christ busts the scene wide open. He's coming with great power and great glory. Okay? Now, you had anything else in there before we move? Now, so, with that understanding, if the sun is out in space, if the sun is a planet, if the moon is a planet, if the stars are a planet, who are they going to fall? The scripture says they're going to fall where? You got all these big stars that are planted falling to the earth like a fig tree. It must not be very big to all fall to the earth itself. They ever seen a falling star? They said, well, that planet is way out there. That's why Noah wrapped up under the firmament and it fell and it just disappeared because there's nothing but light. It's moving us next. No, it's a planet, and it just fell out of the galaxy, and we saw that planet way out there. But why is the sun the biggest one out of all of them? And it weighs millions and millions of miles away, and these stars are far away in there, and when they fall out of the sky, they just disappear. The light go out, because there's nothing but light. That's what a falling star is. It falls from the heavens and it goes out because it's nothing but luminousness. It's nothing but light. It's not a planet. It's light. That's what the scripture says. Well, Yah said on that day, all of them you can look up there and see. Can't see much nowadays. But all that you can see going to fall all at once. It's a wonderful thing to see things through the eyes of Yah. Now, verse 16, it says, and Yah made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that is its purpose. So the moon is, the sun and the earth and the moon are not chasing it. It is sitting up there above where it always sits. And the lesser light to rule the night, he made the stars also. And Yah sits them what? Verse 17. And Yah sent them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. That is their purpose. Signs, seasons, days, years, miracles. And to give light upon the earth. So they're as close as they look. sun is not bigger than the earth. Nothing but a light to give light to the earth. Just like take your flashlight and putting it against the wall. Now you take the flashlight, put it against the wall, you got the little circle sitting there on that wall. That's the sun. Nothing but a light. That's the moon. Nothing but a light. That's the stars. When you ever see stars on the microscope, if you ever just buy your microscope and look at the stars, they just glitter. What you're going to say?
Mankind to the Father. In His name we pray. Amen.